www.thebrainpod.org.
We're also on X, Instagram, and Facebook. Listen to us anytime on all major podcasting platforms. Thank you for paying attention. I am Della Hale. Stay tuned for The Ruthless Truth, coming up right now.
You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 Bradenton. The views, comments, and opinions that come from our interviews, shows, air personalities, and from our calling guests are uncensored, and those views and opinions can be widespread and extremely diverse. These opinions or views do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR, Fogartyville, our staff, or volunteers. Get up, stand up. Good evening, Suncoast, and welcome to another episode of The Ruthless Truth. I am your host, Ruth Beltran, and I am here with fellow community organizers, Sierra and Adam. Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Hello. Lovely to be here as always, Ruth.
Agreed. Thanks for having us.
Yes, and I am excited about the program that we have, that we are bringing to our listeners today. I know that not that many people have even heard about this bill, so I'm very happy that we are going to discuss it. This is House Bill 9495, or what we know as the Nonprofit Killer. The official name that the government is giving this bill is the Stop Terror Financing and Tax Penalty on American Hostages Act. However, the nickname, because it is aimed at killing nonprofits, is the Nonprofit Killer Bill. So let's go ahead and get into the discussion as to what this bill is and why it is so important that we are not only aware, but that we take action regarding the damages that can be brought through this bill. So Sierra, what will happen under this legislation? What is this legislation looking to do?
So essentially, this allows the Secretary of Treasury to unilaterally de-name any nonprofit they want to be pro-terrorist. And what this really means is silencing any dissent, silencing any opinions they don't like, particularly I'm sure we all immediately know who the main targets of this are going to be. They're going to be people in the anti-war movement. They're going to be people who are criticizing America's actions in the Middle East. But, and this one was surprising me. This could also have reaching impacts for abortion and reproductive health.
This legislation will grant the Secretary of Treasury the unilateral power to investigate and effectively shut down and take away tax-exempt status from any organizations, including news outlets, universities, civil society groups, nonprofits like the ACLU, the NAACP, basically any nonprofit, including abortion funds and clinics and things like that. Now, we know that the Answer Coalition is also one of the coalitions that could be impacted, and that they have sent out some emails asking people to sign petitions and take a stand against this bill, right? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. The Answer Coalition has recently come out with a statement. They are trying to push for people to contact their representatives. They're currently circulating the following important appeal from the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund and the Center for Protest Law and Litigation. Here's just a quick snippet from that. HR 9495 is a grave assault on the right to speak out for Palestine and against the genocide in Gaza, especially as the Trump administration begins to take shape. Stopping this bill is a crucial part of the broader fight to defend the right to protest against war and racism. The Partnership for Civil Justice Fund is calling on all of those who care about free speech and the right to dissent to take immediate action to contact Congress and demand that they oppose HR 9495, a proposed new law that would grant President-elect Donald Trump the ability to strip the tax-exempt status of nonprofit organizations engaged in free speech. And so right now, Answer Coalition and the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund has a pre-filled out email that you can use to send to your representative. Very simple, written out for you. You just need to put in your name and info, and they will send that to your representative. We will be having a link to that on the Ruthless Truths social media on Facebook and Instagram. And you can also go to the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund's website, it will be there if you just type in Partnership for Civil Justice Fund and HR 949. So please reach out to your representative. This is still not very well known about. There has not been a lot of press coverage on this so far, which is a bit concerning for the nonprofit killer law, because this is something I think people are going to really push back on. The ability for the Trump administration to designate without any evidence, any due process, no way to appeal, like no way to challenge this decision at all. Just any organization, any nonprofit, everyone has a nonprofit, I'm sure that they are attached to or care about. So I think this is going to be a very big story.
Yes, it is. And, you know, many people are saying what we already know, that it is that this law will really be used to target and revoke the tax-exempt status of lawful nonprofit organizations who speak out on issues related to Palestine, who oppose the genocide, slaughter of tens of thousands of people in Gaza, and, you know, who are really opposing this war. So many organizations can be targeted through this, which is a real, real big concern.
Yes, this law is going to be targeting those who dissent, who protest, who organize against the upcoming administration, and stand for, you know, justice, the ability to speak out against injustices in the world, that they want to take that away from us. It's often been suppressed in America, but this is further than anything we have seen since the McCarthy era. This is really like we're a step back in time.
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, this bill comes at a time, Sierra, where Americans face threats of their civil liberties over criticizing a foreign government that is carrying out genocide. Student activists on college campuses have felt the brunt of it. They have been arrested, and they have relied on organizations like the ACLU or the Palestine Legal to defend them. And this bill, House Bill 9495, could severely impede the ability of those organizations to help any protesters, because at that time they can be deemed terrorist organizations and their tax status can be stripped from them. CARE, which is a well-known national organization, is the coalition of Arab American and Muslim organizations, have also released a statement stating that this bill was designed to criminalize organizations and activists who oppose the U.S. unconditional support of Israel's genocide on Palestine and the slaughter of civilians now in Lebanon, as we are seeing. So we have to continue to stand firm and protect all of these organizations, but also our freedom to speak and operate without fear of political retribution. I do want to point out that this bill is being brought under the Biden administration, right? Because it will be easy to say, oh, look at Trump, what Trump is doing, without taking into account that this is actually happening under a Democratic administration. Not only that, but we know that in the last week, 52 Democrats have voted for this bill. They voted in favor of this bill when it first came to a vote. It needed a two-third vote last week in order to pass. Thankfully, it did not pass, but 52 Democrats, including Kathy Castor, let me repeat that, including Kathy Castor, who I know many people voted for her because she is a Democrat and she is local right here in Tampa Bay, including her, actually voted in favor of this bill that's going to give Trump and the Trump administration so much power that they'll have the ability to destroy endless numbers of organizations, you know, the ACLU, the NAACP, Planned Parenthood, and many other organizations. So this is something that we have to take very seriously. I want to encourage each of our listeners to take action. Like Sierra mentioned, you can go to the Partnership of Civil Justice Fund or just Google PCJF 9495 and you'll be able to find that letter. The ACLU, along with 130 other organizations, are circulating a petition. Answer Coalition is circulating this petition along with the Partnership for Civil Justice Fund and over 100 civil rights and civil liberties organizations have also joined those efforts. So this is something that's really big. Now, the bill didn't pass last week, and it is expected to go up for a vote this week. Adam, what can you tell us about that? Tell us a little bit about the history and where this bill stands right now.
Alrighty, so we are going to play a clip now from last week's congressional session. This is from November. This is when the bill was originally discussed on the House floor. There are two main Republican speakers in this clip, and there are two main Democratic speakers in this clip. The Democratic speakers are Lloyd Doggett of Texas and Mark Takano of California. Finally, the Republican congressmen are Jason Smith from Missouri and Claudia Tenney from New York. These folks kind of give their opinions about the bill. I think it's really important to point out the kind of rhetoric that they're using, especially the Republicans, because we're going to see a lot of, and we've seen a lot of this rhetoric since October 7th and since the Israel-Palestine conflict has been in the mainstream media, this idea of terrorism being used as a way to bring back McCarthyism, like Sierra was saying. So I think this clip kind of gives two sides to the story, although I would venture to say that the Democrats in this clip aren't necessarily fighting hard enough. But it's great to hear that there is, a voice of opposition to the really biased words that the Republicans are using.
Mr. Speaker, this bill authorizes Donald Trump to recklessly impose a death penalty on any nonprofit in America that happens to be on his enemy's list. With this bill, he can destroy the very life of civil society in this country, one group after another, even though the group involved that he targets as a terrorist supporting group has not violated a single law, even though the group has not been presented with a shred of evidence or the public for doing this without offering any specific explanation or reason as to why the life is being taken out of the civil society group, and without providing a day in court, a hearing, and without any meaningful right of appeal, no matter how capricious, no matter how unjustified Trump's action may be. H.R. 9495 is a repackaged version of legislation that was originally filed months ago with good intentions, including that of some of my Democratic colleagues. With Trump's election, the conditions have changed. The dangers of granting additional power to him are far outweighed by any benefits from this bill. This is the same Trump who vowed to be dictator on day one and has declared the greatest danger our country faces today is the enemy within. This bill is now opposed by a growing number of civil society groups, over 120 groups, the ACLU, the Brennan Center, the NAACP, Planned Parenthood, the Center for American Progress, the American Federation of Teachers, a list that goes on and on, the Freedom of the Press Foundation. This legislation is done in the name of stopping financial support for terrorism. All of us support stopping terrorism. Like everyone here, I've done that, and I have previously voted for this very language not once but twice, though the last time it came before our committee, I voiced the very same concerns about the lack of due process that I voiced today. Since none of the deficiencies of this bill have been corrected and no amendment is offered today, we must reject it. If he is to make his march, if he is on a march to make America fascist, we do not need to supply Donald Trump with any additional weapons to accomplish his ill purpose. Our freedoms will not be destroyed in one great blow. No, it will be a thousand cuts over the term of this administration, undermining our liberties one after another. To those who say that this bill only applies to groups that are supporting terrorism, consider how very expansive that term can be, both at home and abroad. The foreign tyrants that Donald Trump so much admires have imprisoned journalists, academics, and rights activists by claiming that they are supporters of terrorism. State and federal elected officials in this country have called for terrorism investigations or prosecution of major news outlets. Trump himself has criticized and labeled anti-racist activists as terrorists. Some have mischaracterized environmental groups as eco-terrorists. Under this bill, Trump's list of targets would only be limited by his imagination, not any guardrails in the bill. For example, Trump claimed that Democrats, myself included, who didn't clap enough for him in this chamber when he gave his first State of the Union, were traitors, that we were treasonous. He could target organizations that assist refugees for harboring terrorists, Planned Parenthood or a hospital for the alleged terror of abortion, an environmental group mislabeled as an eco-terrorist, a private university that permits too many anti-Trump demonstrations, a disability rights group that is objecting to Trump's interference with the Affordable Care Act, a shelter offering housing to... I yield myself another 2 minutes. Gentlemen, a shelter offering housing to LGBTQ youth, a Vietnam Veterans of America group that previously declared Trump's attacks on Gold Star families disgraceful and un-American, think tanks that don't happen to think the way Trump wants it, groups fighting Christian nationalism, are simply any tax-exempt group not viewed as sufficiently pro-MAGA. Now, let's talk about the examples, the two examples that the chairman just referred to. He thinks the IRS commissioner has not acted swiftly enough, and it sounds like perhaps he's right. Well, who do you think appointed the IRS commissioner? His name is Donald J. Trump. The defect is not in the law as it exists today, but on the question of whether or not there is being proper administration of the law that exists today that can deal with terrorism. If the real purpose of this bill as well were simply to postpone tax filing deadlines for the very small number of Americans that have been detained hostage, as wrong as that is, are approving right now the bill that has lingered here as Republicans shelled it for 6 months that the Senate approved to do that, to provide them that protection. We can put that bill on the president's desk right now. The very fact that the Republicans use this claim of helping hostages, it's a subterfuge, because what it's really about is empowering Trump to do more harm. They are, in essence, holding the hostages hostage once again. I yield back and reserve the balance of my time.
Byer. Gentleman from Virginia is recognized for 3 minutes.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I also stand in opposition to H.R. 9495, which would provide this administration and any future administration with sweeping unilateral authority to designate nonprofits as terror-supporting organizations and strip them of their tax-exempt status with no due process and without sufficient evidence. The authorities provided in this bill are unnecessary and extremely dangerous if they ever fall into the wrong hands. And this legislation would do nothing to improve our ability to combat terrorism because there are already numerous legal mechanisms which effectively monitor and penalize nonprofits that provide support to terrorist organizations. No one in this esteemed body wants any nonprofits to direct even $1 to a terrorist organization, and it's inappropriate to suggest otherwise. In the hands of responsible government, the powers provided with this bill are redundant and duplicative. However, history is uncertain. Democracies, even ours, can wax and wane. Sometimes we have great presidents, and sometimes we do not. Under the leadership of an unscrupulous or an authoritarian president, it's not hard to imagine how that administration could use the powers in this bill to hinder or dismantle organizations they don't like. Remember, no due process, no right of appeal, no right to see the evidence against them, no path to cure. It's deeply unfortunate this bill was combined with common sense legislation led by my friends, Representative Dina Titus, Claudia Tenney, and me, that would have allowed the IRS to waive or postpone fines and fees on taxpayers who have been unlawfully detained or held hostage overseas and have not been able to pay their taxes on time. And I was pleased to see that piece of legislation unanimously pass the Senate earlier this year. However, its pairing with these deeply controversial provisions in H.R. 9495 risks those provisions ever becoming law. For these reasons, I urge my colleagues to oppose 9495 and hope that we can find a path forward to provide desperately needed relief for Americans who've been wrongfully detained overseas. Thank you, and I yield back the balance of my time.
I yield the gentleman another 30 seconds to respond to a question.
Yes, please.
So the bill you have is the same one that the Senate passed 6 months ago. Have you been given any reason why the Republicans, if they're so eager to help the hostages, have held that bill instead of bringing it up for us to consider and getting it on the president's desk right now, this week?
I have never been given that reason, no.
I thank the gentleman.
Gentleman from Texas. Gentleman from California is recognized for 4 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in strong opposition to H.R. 9495, the so-called Stop Terror Financing and Tax Penalties on American Hostages Act. This legislation would grant the president-elect unilateral power to essentially shut down any tax-exempt organization based on any simple accusations of wrongdoing. Let me repeat, a simple accusation of wrongdoing. By granting the Treasury Secretary enormous power, the Secretary would have the authority to stifle any nonprofit organization that has provided, quote, material support, end quote, to terrorists. Granting this broad authority to investigate and strip nonprofits of their tax-exempt status paves the way for weaponized action against targeted organizations based on their core missions and political beliefs. Now, mind you, I do not support organizations giving material support for terrorists, but I'm concerned about a simple accusation of wrongdoing leading to this to that happening. To be sure, nonprofits are already prohibited from providing material support to terrorist groups, and this legislation is unnecessary and duplicative, and I support full enforcement of existing law. Under a new president-elect Donald Trump, this proposed law could be punitive. The notion of giving President-elect Trump the power to take away the tax-exempt status of nonprofits associated with his so-called political opponents is staggering, yet here we are. President-elect Trump, before and during his campaign, made numerous comments regarding his supposed enemies. These so-called enemies include individuals, corporations, or organizations that have been critical of the former president's policies and comments during the past and present. Now let us consider the case of a reputable organization like the Japanese American Citizens League. This nonprofit, tax-exempt charitable organization, 501c3, that has done immeasurable work on behalf of the community and even our nation, advocating for Japanese Americans and other marginalized communities, including arguing against the Muslim ban. As a proud Japanese American myself, I am in awe of the great contributions that this nonprofit has made. Yet, with this legislation before us today, one can predict a scenario in which this group may be targeted for supporting Muslims should a Trump Muslim ban 2.0 come to fruition. Every day in this country, nonprofits are doing incredible work. They touch a range of different policy areas and sectors, and with this bill, are at significant risk. As written, this bill risks allowing LGBTQ organizations vulnerable to attack solely due to their collaboration with human rights groups in hostile areas. Loss of tax exemption would mean that these organizations would be subject to corporate tax rates, increasing financial burdens and likelihood of financial hardship. New tax liabilities would divert funds away from core missions and activities, therefore impeding the work of supporting initiatives and community outreach. We all know well that organizations here that could be implicated are going to be based on political repercussions. A chilling effect of revoking tax-exempt status could deter other organizations from speaking up, essentially curtailing free speech. Current law dictates it is already a federal crime for nonprofits to provide this support for these groups. So why are we here today? Granting the executive branch such extraordinary power based off unilateral accusation paves the way for significant abuse. This bill is a gift to President-elect Trump, wrapped in a bow right before the holidays to seek vengeance on his so-called political opponents. Organizations such as J Street and the ACLU have come out in strong opposition to this bill for good reasons. The potential change in tax-exempt status would not only impact the financial stability of countless nonprofit organizations, but would severely the potential change in tax-exempt status would not only impact the financial stability of countless nonprofit organizations, but would severely undermine their ability to carry out their core missions, advocating for civil rights and social justice. Loss of funding and a reduction of capacity to serve communities threatens the survival and effectiveness of these nonprofits. We should be uplifting these organizations and not hindering their success. With that, I yield back.
Gentleman yields back.
Thank you, Ruth. So, like you said, the bill came into the House last week on November the 12th. At that time, it needed a two-thirds majority to pass, and it did not get that. It got 256 yays, 145 nays, and 33 not present votes. So the bill then went to committee and is being reintroduced this week. And at that time, it will only need a simple majority to pass. So it is expected to pass. I do not think that anyone realistically believes that we can flip over 100 votes from yay to nay in 1 week. But it is important to point out that there are 52 Democrats that are voting yay on this bill. The other thing I wanted to say was it has already passed in the Senate. So if this bill does pass this week or when it does, it will go straight to Biden, who will presumably sign the bill into effect. And this is just one of the many ways that we see the Biden administration really capitulating to, the incoming Trump administration. And it's funny, I feel like they talk such a big game during the campaign about, you know, opposing right-wing progress in this country. And now, you know, just a couple months away from the Trump administration taking power once again, the Biden administration is really just rolling over and honestly giving them more power. And there's very few people fighting this bill publicly. Really, there's just been a lot of calls to action. Another thing I do want to mention is you can call your representative as well. This is all, you know, it's just as easy for some people to pick up the phone.
People can call Byrne Buchanan as well, not only Kathy.
So let's call them out then. Kathy voted yay for the bill and Buchanan voted, did not vote. So there is only 33 House Congress members that did not vote. So even if they all voted nay, there would still not be enough to swap the majority, but Buchanan did not vote. I want to remind people that they can call in. And then the PCJF is just a link to create an automatic email. There's even an option there that says, I do request a response so that the office of your congressman can respond to you.
I think it's interesting how, you know, a lot of people, you know, rightly so, are very scared of the Trump administration, but it's almost as if, you know, they're going to fire the gun, but the Democrats have like handed them the gun, you know?
Yes, but we need to not be nervous and remember that community organizing and actual organizing in the masses of people is the only thing that has ever brought change. I mean,
yes,
all the laws and benefits that we have right now and the rights that we have right now were actually fought for by people that hit the streets, people that went on strike, people that were resilient and, you know, just stayed in the course and stayed the fight. And that is similar to what we're going to have to do right now. We have to stand up and defend our right to protest. We have to stand up and defend our right to take a stand, you know, against what's wrong, like a genocide, the mass murdering and killing and slaughtering of innocent people. That is somewhere that we should be taking a stand. So please go ahead and sign that petition. But also I want to encourage everyone that's listening to us to join an organization, join an active, effective organization that you know is fighting for change. I encourage you to join the Answer Coalition, to join the Party for Socialism and Liberation Tampa Bay, and join unions as well, whether it is a labor union at your job or it is a tenants union at your housing. Find an active organization that you can join hands with, and let's get ready for what's going to be the fight of our lives. But we have done it before, and because we have created history and fought back before and won, we can do it again. So that's really my call for tonight to everyone.
Absolutely. You know, the only way we are going to, you know, stay safe throughout this is if we protect each other and we come together. And the only way to really effectively do that is through these organizations. And
it is expected to go up for a vote this week. I've seen some sources say that Thursday, the 21st, will be when it's going for a vote. I don't know that that's been set yet, but it should be this week. So we'll be hearing about it. And then presumably after that, it would go straight to Biden's desk.
Yes. And you know what that means, listeners? You need to get online right now. You write bright and early in the morning. You need to get on your phone and call your representatives and tell them to vote no on House Bill 9495 and to protect our right to show dissent and to protest against our government, because that is a basic human right that we have. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but I want to thank you both, Sierra and Adam, for being on this show with me and for bringing this important information to our listeners.
Thank you so much for having us, as usual.
Always a pleasure, Ruth. Thank you.
Yes. And there you have it, listeners. We will be back again next Wednesday at 6:30 with another very important episode for you. So I hope that you tune in next week as well. And until then, I hope you find the courage to get up, stand up, and not give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Yeah, man.